And on the line now, I have my ex Near FM presenter and my friend Pat Meehan, the great multi-talented Pat Meehan. Good afternoon, Pat.
Hey, John, will you stop with that great multi-talented? Come on,
now with that. Oh, no. You know, you were a presenter for Northside Today for a long time. You're also involved in the drama, and you know.
That's right. Well, I'm still involved in the drama.
Are you?
Yeah, because the last two episodes of Riven History were the proposal went to the BAI. Now, it's a good while ago because the drama's all shut down because of this COVID.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, they got accepted for the funding. So at some stage in the future, I'm sure it'll be produced and that'll be the finale of the 10 episodes. But yes, I'm still involved with Near FM to that extent, but that's it. You know,
So tell us, how long were you here? Was it 15 years?
No, John, it was 16 and a half.
16 and a half years, jeez.
Yeah. I was on CE first for 4 years, and then that finished, and I had a year out, and I was going to do an arts course in Colossus Dooley, and an opportunity came up to do a JI in Near FM, and I discovered that the money for the JI was far superior to the CE money that I would have gotten. Anyway, I came home, and I said to my wife, here's the two opportunities, the arts course for a year in Colossus Dooley or the job in Near FM. Which should I take? And she said, being a sensible woman, which pays the better money? And I said, well, the job in Near FM, take the job. So we did. And then I was there for 11 and a half years on that. I finished up in, what age am I? I'm 69 now. I finished up when I was 66. So I'm over three and a half years going out of the place, John.
Yeah, geez, time's flying, isn't it? It doesn't seem that
too
long.
Fast. Yeah, too fast.
How did you get involved? You more or less told us there how you got involved, but did you go straight into presenting?
How did I get involved with the radio station?
Yeah.
I started on CE. I thought it was going to be for a year. The job description was researcher, so that would have entailed ringing people for programmes and looking for different bits of content and stuff like that, and I'd be happy enough to do that. But you know yourself what it's like in a radio station. You end up multitasking, so I ended up having to present. It was called Local Point at the time, the forerunner of Northside Today, and I didn't have a clue, but John, I had to have somebody do the desk for me and all that sort of thing. And I was really nervous doing that, and for the first couple of times, but then just to relax into it, I suppose, you know, and find your level, and that's it. Just keep going. But if you know yourself in there, you do a lot of different jobs. I mean, I've done my job title when I came back on the JI, I was a van driver. That was the official van driver, so that was my title. And of course, Gay and myself used to go out and scout out OBs and all that sort of thing and set up, and all that entails with the van. So between that and then doing Northside Today with you and the rest of the Northside Today team, so it was a full schedule, basically.
Yeah, and you mentioned the OBs there; they're gone for the time being as well.
I'd imagine they are.
This whole thing.
But I have one funny story about the van. Myself and Gay were out one day. We were over in Donnymead, and we were I think we were delivering something to somebody's house or something, and then we had to get it out, route it out the back of the van, so we did whatever we were doing, and we were on the way back up the road, and I heard this drilling kind of a sound, and I said to Gay, can you hear that? And he said, oh yeah, it sounds like a roadworks. It sounds like somebody, you know, with a tango hammer or something.
Yeah.
So we were driving up the road, and I said to him, hold on a second, stop, will you? So we stopped the van in the middle of the road and got out. The area was going up by itself. The area was about 10 feet up in the air. Now, if we hadn't copped it, we would have just taken down electrical cables and everything. Would have taken electrocuted or something, you know. But it was, I don't know, that sort of thing was gas, like,
We had some laughs, and it's live radio is always a bit dangerous, and you never know what's going to happen.
Well, you never know what's going to happen. There's no 30-second delay, I don't think. Sure, there isn't.
No,
there's
not.
If somebody says something off out of hand that you can do something about, you can't with the lights in here at the end. It's just straight through live, and that's the way it works.
And
but I got into a few scrapes myself in the place. I mean, if you don't mind me telling you, there was a one of the colleagues in the early days. It was a female, and she was a gas character. But yeah, in those days, you had to book out the recording devices, and it was an old Marantz with a big chunky thing that you had to put your name in the book and then take it when it became available. And I put my name down for one of them. And then whatever happened, I didn't get the opportunity to take the machine, but somebody else took it. And people were coming back to me and saying, Pat, where's that Marantz you borrowed? You have to give it back. And I said, I didn't take any Marantz. And they said, come on, we know you did. Your name is in the book. All this stuff was going on for months and months and months. And people being sent out by Ciarán. We go out and ask Pat Meehan where he did it at Marantz. And myself and this other person were sitting down in the, this is in the old part of the old station over in the CDC years ago. Like, and in them days, you could have a cigarette and stuff and make a cup of tea. And we were sitting there, and a girl called Linda Doyle came out and said to me, where's that Marantz you have? Ciarán's after sending me out to get it off. And I said, I don't have it. And this other girl, she was a bit tall, and she said, I have that. I've had that in my wardrobe for the last 4 months.
And I said, oh.
And I said, and what about the thing off the microphone? You know, the cover off the microphone. She said, no, my dog ate it. So that was that story. I mean, I was getting that for months and months and months. But anyway,
she had it thrown in her wardrobe.
Yeah, for months. Like, and I was getting blamed for it all the time that I had it, you know.
I don't like gold dust. People looking
for
it.
Yeah, I know that, yeah. But I mean, they got it back. I mean, they got it back from her, you know.
Yeah.
Minus the cover off the microphone cover.
And was it a big difference now moving from the old station over here into the Civic Centre?
Well, I found it extremely different, and because the old place, you wouldn't have known the setup, the radio station setup. It was tiny. It was absolutely tiny now. You know, there was a tiny studio one and another two studios, a middle studio, the same kind of setup, but on a much, much smaller scale than what it is today. And when I was out for a year then, the CE ended up, like I said, after 4 years. And I had a year away, and then I came back and straight into the new place. And the difference was incredible. It was such a professional-looking setup then, you know. It was completely different, completely professional. And intimidating as well, I found, because of the professionalism of how the place looked and was run. I said to myself, my God, how am I ever going to just get into this sort of thing? But I also found quite difficult. When I was in the old place, I learned how to do editing on the audio systems, the mini disc players. And I was really comfortable with that, John. I could, you know, you could like a click and open a safe, for example.
Yeah.
You know, you
hear
the clicks and you say, yeah, that's that bit done. And a few more clicks, yeah, that's that bit done. And then they went digital, and they went with all the editing, with the Adobe edition and all that stuff, and I was totally at sea, and I actually never really got the hang of that. I know an awful lot of other people did, but it passed me by completely. It was that technical, you know.
Yeah.
I know you're very good. You're very good at it. You could do a lot of that stuff, but...
Well, I haven't been doing that stuff now because I'm retired myself, same as yourself. So... I have to do it.
You're just doing your weekly programme.
I'm just doing my weekly programme, but I have now got a request to do a pre-record, so I'm going to have to get somebody to remind me of how you do it. But,
Well, I mean, Gary's still there for helping out with that sort of thing.
Yeah, he is. And he's always willing to give you a hand.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, yeah. Well, sure. Somebody's got to do it, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. So we were talking about get starting in this new place, and when you come in and you look at the desk and you look at all the faders and the knobs and all, it's a bit intimidating, isn't it, when you don't really at first?
Yeah, well, yeah, it is. I mean, the desks are different even from where the old station was. There was only one desk that did everything. Like the faders were on the one desk for the mics and the rest of the equipment, but now it's a two system thing, isn't it? It's split desks. I mean, you've got the faders on the desk on the right hand side for the mics, and the other one on the left hand side for all the rest of the stuff, like the computers and the mini disc players and the CD players and all that sort of thing. So you coordinate your left hand and your right hand, you know. So.
Yeah, and then you can interact with different studios. You know, Studio 2 and
That's
there
right.
if you have guests.
Yeah.
Of course, we haven't got guests either, so hopefully we'll all get back to normal.
Well, when this thing ever ends, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know you're trying to look after yourself and as well as you possibly can and stay safe. And I'm doing the same and try not to go out too much at all because I have a real fear of contracting COVID-19 because I've got type 2 diabetes and the chances of me surviving that I wouldn't say would be too great. So I'm pretty worried and concerned about it, John. You know, the only good thing is, except when my wife are here, and I mean, only for the two of us being together here, and we can have such great laugh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We really have great laugh together, and we bounce off each other and stuff like that. I don't mean physically.
Might do yourself an injury, Pat.
Yeah, no, but we have great laugh, and it's not all fun and games. We, you know, everybody has their bits of ups and downs, but I mean, sure, that's only to be expected.
Yeah,
when you're in a space with just one other person, and you're here kind of more or less 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I have her with me. I don't know. If I had to live on my own like that, I think I'd...
Oh, jeez, no.
I wouldn't be able to make it. I wouldn't be able to make it too well, you know, but...
doesn't bear thinking about.
No, it doesn't.
We had some good laughs, myself and yourself, in here, Pat, in the radio station.
And, yeah, we did. Yeah.
I vaguely remember we were presenting a show together for some reason. And you were after doing a certain interview. I won't mention any names or anything like that, but you were after doing a certain interview. And the song that you put on afterwards was sort of... was a bit inappropriate.
But that was probably purely accidental. Like, I mean,
it was accidental, purely accidental, but it was too late. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't pull down the fader. But I think we both took a fit of laugh and found it fairly hard to stop.
Yeah, well, I mean, there were things like that in the place as well where, you know, you could... I mean, I had great laughs in there with people, yourself included, John. You know, I mean, I remember the happy times. Well, I'm also kind of... It was bad times as well because we lost a lot of really nice people and good people.
We did,
and
yeah.
Just
yeah.
Remembering the likes of Pat Guerin. I mean,
yeah.
He wasn't there for a very long time, but I got on great with him. I thought he was a great character, you know.
Yeah, I got on great with Pat as well.
I mean, I could name a few. Poor Ray Kennedy went and Tony Captain went.
Yeah.
There was a woman called Maya Stowe who was there in the early days. You wouldn't have...
I wouldn't have known her at all, no.
It was great. Anne North was another brilliant person in the place. And poor old Joe. Remember Joe the Monk?
He used to
do a Friday afternoon. He used to do a Friday just lunchtime, a Selenny shot. Do you not remember Joe?
No, I don't remember him. I didn't usually do Fridays.
Yeah. Yeah, poor old Joe, he's gone. And Geraldine Wynne, did you remember Geraldine?
No, she was before my time as well.
Yeah, well, she was only young when she passed away. So a lot of people have gone out of the place. But I mean, it's natural that it's life, you know, it's life. People live, people die. But I'm just kind of thinking it was sad times as well as happy and fun times there. One of the best times I ever really... Like, was coming up to the Christmas time in Near FM, there's a good vibe in it, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember when we started doing the bit of carol singing to raise a few quid for Beaumont Hospital. That was good crack. You know?
Up there in Northside, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, there were good times. Good times.
Oh, yeah, the good times, and as you say, there were sad times as well.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, you're missed, Pat, because you're always good for a laugh and... a great presenter.
I think that the whole place must be different now with what's happening with the virus and
it's weird. It's weird. There's nobody. Yeah. There's nobody in the place. There's actually only myself, the receptionist, and the studio duty guy in here at the moment. And they're all in different studios and different rooms. You know, so.
Yeah,
it is. It's weird coming in and not having a bit of banter and a bit of laugh, you know. But there we go. That's the time we're in.
That's the way. You know, at the moment. Yeah. So maybe things will improve in the future. Who knows? I just heard in the news this morning that the World Health Organization spokesperson saying there may be a vaccine by the end of the year. So if they say that, then there's a possibility that it could be real. You know.
Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah.
The way to see, we have to stay safe, John. Stay indoors as much as possible, and don't interact with people out there because the thing is too easy to catch, you know.
It is, yeah, yeah. It's very easy to catch and very hard to get rid of.
Well, for some people, they won't make it if they get it. Yeah. And there's some people in the category where it's going to totally decimate them and they'd end up in ICU, maybe on a ventilator or something, and then God knows what happens. Yeah. The young people seem to be able to weather the storm a lot better than others, but we'll see. We'll wait and see.
Okay, listen.
Sure.
Yeah, well, listen, we have to finish up as explaining to you because we have to clean down the mics and the faders and all of this, you know, for the next presenter coming in. Listen, thanks very much for taking the call. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
And when, talk to you again, John.
Yeah, when this is all over, we'll have a meet up.
Okay,
okay.
John.
Listen,
good
thanks, Pat. Good luck.
Okay.
Good luck.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
There we go. Ex presenter Pat Meehan and a good friend of mine as well, and a great man for a laugh.